First reading is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him, then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your ancestors to give to you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day, and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands that I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them.
This reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
Harvest is a time to stop and remember that everything we have ultimately is a gift from God. We might talk about my money, my house, my food, but all the things we have received are reliant upon that long chain of people we've thought about. But if we trace that chain back far enough, we will see it all begins with the gifts of God in the first place. As we've continually reminded ourselves over the last few weeks, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. God is the source of all that we have in our lives. Farmers recognise this. They do the hard work of sowing and reaping, but they know that there are processes over which they have no control. Sun and rain. As Christians, we may know these to be the provisions of God. In our reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul uses the image of the farmer being provided for when he writes these words. Now he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. The first thing we can notice from our passage in 2 Corinthians is how Paul constantly seems to be mixing up things we think of as spiritual with very ordinary and everyday things. In fact, at times it's difficult to know if Paul is talking about physical seed and bread, or if he's using bread and seed as metaphors for the work of God within us. And that's probably because Paul didn't think with the same attitude that we have towards the sacred and the secular. For Paul, every aspect of life was sacred, made by God. All of life speaks to us about God. All of life is an opportunity to be blessed by God. And all of a life is a chance for us to serve God. And we see that in the passage from Deuteronomy. Moses tells the people that when they obey God, they will be blessed in every aspect of their lives. You'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. The crops of your land, the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, the lamb of your flocks. Your basket, your kneading trough will be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come in, blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that your enemies rise up against you, will be defeated. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he has given you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he's promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him. And this blessing is not just a feeling of inner peace, and it's not about financial gain either. God is interested in the Israelites' baskets and their kneading troughs. He's interested in the whole of their lives, the nitty-gritty. And by extension, he's interested in the nitty-gritty of our lives. He's interested in your computer, your filing cabinet, your hammer, your whisk, your paintbrush, your garden. He's interested in every aspect of your lives. And God blesses us in rural or urban environments, in our homes, in our workplaces. God's involved in our conflicts, in our struggles. And God wants us to be holy and obedient in to him in every aspect of our lives, because God is with us in every aspect of our lives. And harvest, we start off with remembering that God is the God of the whole of life. Because God provides in the whole of life. And that all we do in our lives is actually our harvest, our offering to God. And when we begin to realise this, the result ought to be gratitude to God. Because Paul ends our reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 with a shout of praise. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. God's giving to us is literally indescribable, so lavish, so complete. And this is a reflection that God not only provides for our physical needs, because he didn't go just do that. He went even further. He sent the gift of his only son to us in grace. And that is truly a reason for heartfelt thanks. In Luke's Gospel, we have this little story. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise, go, your faith has made you well." Only 1 in 10 thanked Jesus for for his goodness and generosity in being healed. Only one in ten. There's probably about the same odds of us remembering to thank God for what he provides for us in our lives as we go through our days, if we're honest with ourselves. One in ten chance that we might rise up and remember that what we have before us is a gift from God, and we turn to God and thank him. Sorting through my parents' house is, as you would expect, a sobering experience. They both came from a generation where you didn't throw things away. You kept things just in case, which makes my job a lot harder. But it stands in stark contrast to the, on the whole, fairly disposable culture that we live in. A disposable culture that I've also become very well acquainted with as I watch what other people are throwing away as I go to the tip again and again. We are blessed in our lives by God's generosity. On the whole, with so much in our lives, and I don't just mean by the stuff that we have, the real spoils of a person's life are not in what possessions they have accumulated. The stories that are recounted at a person's funeral are not stories about what possessions they have owned in their lives. The stories told at a person's funeral are about the relationships they have had in their lives, the experiences they have witnessed. Those are the things that have mattered most. And those are the real treasure that God gives us in our lives. The relationships that we have with others, the wonder that we can experience in the world around us, and if we choose, the friendship with God in Christ. These are the true blessings of God. And it is easy to forget to be grateful. Stopping to count our blessings and express our thanks to God is one of those habits that may be good for us to develop. Studies have shown that gratitude has benefits for our emotional and physical health. It's good for our relationships. It even helps you sleep better. But more importantly, being thankful puts God back in his rightful place as the source of all life, at the centre of our lives. There's the story told of a lecturer to business people who held up a sheet of white paper that had an ink stain in the middle of it. And he asked this group of business people before him what they saw, and they all said, "The stain." But the test was unfair because it invited the answer that everyone expected and assumed that the lecturer wanted. But it exposed the ingratitude of the human heart. It came to the surface that they saw the disfigurement, the thing that was wrong, rather than the expanse of white, the goodness that surrounded it. I'm sure that we're all good at making complaints in our lives when something goes wrong. But we're poor at giving thanks for the good. We notice the disfigurements but fail to acknowledge the widespread mercy and goodness that surrounds us. Perhaps we should deliberately call to mind and write down the blessings that we've received from God before we get close to complaining in life. George Buttrick, the famous New York pastor of the early 20th century, said, "If we did write down all the blessings we have from God, we might begin, but we might never end, because there were not enough pens or paper in the world to do so." God is the God of all life. And this leads to us becoming grounded in gratitude. But this will finally lead us to gratitude growing into generosity. The most obvious theme of the passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is the financial gift that Paul was encouraging these Gentile Christians to give to the struggling Jewish believers in Judea. But if we focus on solely on this financial giving, when looking at this passage, we miss the point that Paul is really making. We cannot think about giving to God as purely being a business transaction. If I give this much, how much will I get back? What's in it for me? If I put money into God's slot machine, how much is he going to pay out? It is possible to take Paul's words about sowing and reaping out of context, to make us think that Christian giving works in this way, but to do that would miss the point. Christian giving, as we thought about last week, is based upon God being the giver of all life, that he's been abundantly generous towards us. And these two things need to move from our head to our hearts. It can inspire free, abundant, grateful giving. It becomes the overflow of a thankful heart that simply wants to get involved in the lavish generosity of God. And when we give from this motive, Paul describes three results in this passage. Firstly, as we open our hands to give, we create space for God to continue to provide for us. Paul writes, "You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion." Notice that it says you'll be enriched in every way. You give of money, it doesn't mean you're going to get money back. But you'll be enriched in other ways in your life. Contentment, kindness, maybe provision. But doesn't say as you give, you will receive. The fruit of our giving has two other results that are described in the following verses. In verse 12, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also an overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. The second result of giving, Paul says, is that other people's needs are met. There's no doubt that today people across our community, our world, have needs that will only be met by the giving of those who are generous in God's grace. Because they are giving because God has led them to give. We give because we have received from God and we can be generous to others. But thirdly, and perhaps most importantly, we discover that this giving is not just for our benefit, not just for the benefit of others. It's an act of worship to God. Giving to others is in itself an expression of thanks and praise. And Paul goes on to say, because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. Giving can communicate the very heart of the gospel. When you give, motivated by the gratitude for God's generosity, other people will catch a glimpse of what the gospel means to you. And it will lead them to praise God for themselves. We give thanks to a generous God in our lives. And it is something to be done, not only at harvest time. It should be a natural part of our worship lives, honouring God because of his blessings to us. Where we acknowledge that God is the God of all of our lives. And this leads us to becoming grounded in gratitude. And this finally leads us to gratitude growing into generosity to others, showing that the grace of God is given for all people. Let's pray. Gracious giving God, we give you thanks for all that we have received. May we become a people who are grateful, a people who know how blessed we are, but a people who give generously of ourselves. Give generously of all that you have provided for us. We pray this in your name. Amen.